Hey, welcome everybody. This is the second big session here at Hacker Hotel. Welcome on the first day. Next on the program, we'll be having Elger Jonker / Stitch, a man who actually doesn't need any introduction because you'll know him from MCH. And, oh yeah, by the way, in his free time, he's also a software developer. And when he was bored, he started a long time ago with Filecard, Fail Map. Well, literally a map on organizations failing in their security, which was kind of negative. And then he changed it to basisbeveiliging.nl. Is this going to be in Dutch or English? It will be in English. You can ask small questions during the session just for clarifications, and your longer theories and jokes you can save until the end. Please give a warm welcome to Stitch.
Yay. Alrighty, so mic works, that's fine. I've clicked on slides being shared, but the projectors are not doing anything. So shall I, do I have to do something now? Some magic? Okay, tickle the on button. Which, what does this button do? Is there an on? There is an on button, and it is on. Ah, here we go. Click. We can do this again. Just oh, it makes noise. So the previous talk didn't need any projectors because they are so great. The best presentations are done without projectors, so I'm sorry. So, is there anything? Alrighty, do I have to do anything? Do I have to do interpretive dancing now? Or warning messages affect lamp life? We can do this again, okay? Just try again. Do the introduction again. And awesome. So, if you look on the right, there's a presentation is TLP Cyber, indeed. So thanks, Chris, for the introduction. There's some pictures of some hobbies of mine, and I'm going to tell you a bit about one of the hobbies that grew a bit out of proportion, which is web security map, basisbeveiliging.nl. I've talked about this last year, so I won't rehash the things that I've done last year. Accept a few things and then tell you about all the things that we've done since last year, February, till now, which is a shit ton. So this is the website. This is an example. It shows municipalities and how well they are secured in their baseline security. So DNSSEC, TLS, if they submit or if they send cookies without consent, tracking cookies without consent, if they have things like Google Analytics, if they, well, there's like 26 metrics that are scanned every few days and published. So if you are doing well, it's green. If there are some things to improve, it's orange. And if there's something definitely wrong, such as with encryption, you become red. And every time the map becomes too green, we up the ante and make it more difficult. So that you as an organization need a process to do something every month. And we did so, like we released another metric 2 days ago, and half of the green ones became orange again. So you're welcome. Only for good cause, of course. So this is not the only map. This is municipalities, and that visualizes very well. There's many more, and I'm going to show you a few of them. All of this is done by the Internet Cleanup Foundation, which is a foundation with me, Johan, Wouter, and Twan. Us four, we work on this partly paid now, but mostly in our spare time. And most of the things that I will show you have been done in spare time. So show you a little bit about what has changed, for example, policy-wise, which is, oh, so boring, but it's very necessary, especially if you work with governments. So last time I announced that this project has become Dutch government policy. So it's official policy that we visualize the state of security for the entire Netherlands as much as possible. We have to make that transparent. So that's awesome. It's supported by the Ministry of Justice and supported by the Ministry of Interior and Kingdom Relations, of the Binnenlandse Zaken. And they also support the project with a fee around 50,000 euros or something per year. So we do this with four people. And yeah, you can imagine with Dutch salaries how this works a little bit. So being transparent how this works. We have a the mission of the government is to become accountable, transparent, learn from their mistakes, and being open. Show what you're doing. Show the citizen where the taxpayer money goes to, and show that you are capable and in control. Well, and it so happened to be that basisbeveiliging or web security map fits in that strategy, which is nice. It just so happened. And our government partner is the Center for Information Security and Privacy Protection. Very nice people, and they help us out with navigating the government, which is absolutely very ridiculously hard. So we thank them a lot. We've this year created an ethical framework of what we're doing. We've written down what are we doing, how are we doing this, what are our boundaries, what is the code of conduct. Thanks to the DIVD for borrowing large snippets of this code of conduct. We created guidance for new organizations. When they are added to the map, then it says like you have to do this, 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 and this, and you can go to your suppliers and inform them about it and such. So making it easier for new organizations to recognize what we are doing and how we are doing it, and that we are doing this in a legal way. We are doing this in a way that is okay, that doesn't harm anyone. And last but not least, policy-wise, December there was a letter to the House of Representatives, aka the Tweede Kamer, by State Secretary Van Huffelen, which tells 2 points about basisbeveiliging. It says that we have found that 4% of the front pages of government websites places tracking cookies without consent, and that the site actually exists. So that is pretty nice. So what are we talking about? What does basisbeveiliging entail right now? We currently have 30 maps and 6 maps pending. So we have the entire government, all 4 layers, safety regions, all the ministries separated, so you can see how well they are doing. We have, for healthcare, we have hospitals, and GGD's, gemeentelijke gezondheidsdiensten. There will be a bunch more this year. Political parties we've added last year, and cybersecurity companies, which most of you are working at. So I can show you a little bit how you are doing. And coming next year in the first quarter, or I mean this year in the first quarters, next month there will be universities and high schools. A month later there will be secondary education and junior college, so MBO and voortgezet onderwijs. And then primary education and special education and applied education. So that will be happening in the coming months, and we've been working on that for a year now, so I'm happy to announce that this will finally be public. So currently we are monitoring 3,500 organizations, 110,000 domains, 400,000 endpoints, and with 30 million metrics. If you compare this to the large commercial players, these are rookie numbers, for a project like this, it's pretty big, and it's very impactful. So I think being just a very small group, we're doing just fine with managing all of this stuff, with all the emails that are coming in daily, with just a handful of people, which is fun. So we've also added a bunch of tools. How we always work is first you get data from OpenStreetMaps and Google Maps, the geocoding API. Then you transform that, you find domains, subdomains, and then you run a bunch of security tools. And we have added a lot. such as AMAS for subdomain discovery, which is, there are better tools now, but back then there were not. SIDN API for seeing who owns a domain registration for the registry, with approval of the SIDN, of course, and some more. So there's currently 26 metrics published in the Netherlands, and there are still some up and coming. So let's talk about the features that we've added this year. First, the known features which have already been in the project, which is statistics over time. You can see how well your an entire map is doing, how well municipalities are doing over time. You can see that for an individual metric. So you see this nice orange line in the middle going down and the green line coming up. You can see all the reports and all metrics over time. So you can go back like to 2016 and see how we measured back then. And you can see maps changing over time and municipalities merging into one. Comply or explain when there's really weird exceptions. We support that you can explain, okay, this is actually happening because, and thus it is safe. And some organizations use that, and it has impacted what we scan a lot. You can see the best and the worst organizations, and you can download whole data sets. So everything that is on the site, you can click and download. And everything is made in JSON, so you can, if you're a bit smart, then you can just browse through the whole site with, well, an evening of simple development. So what we've added this year is finding organization, because it used to be municipalities, which is easy. But then the whole government was added, and more and more and more. So you have to find your organization. And you can do so in the current name, but you can do so in historic names or nicknames, such as the city of Zutphen has the nickname Torenstad. So if you type in Torenstad, you will find Zutphen. Or festival names, like if you live in Brabant, in Den Bosch, the city is called Oeteldonk. So if you type in Oeteldonk, you will find Den Bosch. There's some strange stuff in that data set, such as the most beautiful city behind the dunes, that's The Hague. So you can find some weird stuff in there. It's just whatever we liked. So it's always positive, so except Rotterdam, because they hate themselves, I guess. Yeah, that's always the most beautiful, ugly city that there is, right? That's their slogan. So I've lived there for a few years, so. So what we've also added is organizations near me, which is happening in the browser. You can see, if you go to the website, you can click and you can see what cities, what municipalities are near you and whatever is near you. This functionality works great, but if you add like all schools in the Netherlands, this becomes pretty useless because, yes, there's like a million schools around you and then there's a new municipality. So we have to rebalance this a little bit to make more sense. But you can see what is around you, which is fun. We've also added an illegal tracking cookie monitor. So for tracking cookies, you will need to ask for consent. That's like these ugly banners. And if you click and go through the maze of options, then you can actually decline. I've heard from a reliable source, you can decline tracking cookies. These are the results of an investigation that we've did for the Ministry of Interior and Kingdom Relations. How many tracking cookies have been placed on websites of the government without consent? And we've took that even further to everything that we monitor, including tracking cookies. So I mean tracking cookies by YouTube, LinkedIn, things that are used for marketing purposes. So it comes back to you. And including cybersecurity companies. So all cybersecurity companies that are using currently illegal tracking cookies are listed perfectly on the website with a link, with a full report, what cookie is shared and when we measured this last time. And this is the current list of cybersecurity companies that are publishing, that are placing tracking cookies without consent. which is 42%, a nice round number. Three of them are sponsoring this event. I just removed the highlight because that's it was a bit mean, so three of them, you can find them. So please, that it was not for shits and giggles that when you got your badge, there was this cyber thing in it. It had a small note attached to this. Please fix your shit. So please do so. It's only illegal, right? So it will be enforced somewhere soon. There's been budget granted to some organizations. They have the money to do so. So it's just a matter of time when the first fines hit. And yeah, well, you can all prevent that PR disaster pretty easily, probably. So another thing that we've, another feature that we've launched recently is the leaderboard. And this is a thing where we've done something very business-like and scientific. We judge different kind of organizations with either a green heart icon, if you're doing the best, or a poop emoji. And you can compare any type of organization that we measure to any other type of organization on any metric, and you can reorder them and such. So for example, you can see that the data from today, you can see that the government is doing better in baseline security than cybersecurity companies and healthcare. So the government has only 3 poop emojis, cybersecurity companies have 10, and healthcare has 14. So, and the whole goal is, of course, that you do not want the poop emojis associated to your organizations. And you can rearrange them. You can, for example, compare all 12 ministries in the Netherlands and see who's doing best and who's doing worse. You also see how many domains they have in their portfolio. You can see, for example, that some are doing like 10 times better than others. So you can just compare this. You can download the data and send it around and search. So if you want to annoy somebody, and the link that, if you rearrange everything, the link to the page also updates, so you can easily share whatever your vision is of the current events. You can screenshot it for your PowerPoint, which has conveniently tracking cookies received without consent at the number one. So let's look at a random organization to find out some more features that have been added. I've got made a new nice spinner. And let's see what's happening. Let's go to the Ministry of Interior Relations and Interior and the Kingdom Relations, Binnenlandse Zaken. This is data from a while back, so the current numbers are have been changed, but I do a little bit too little time to update this screenshot as well. And some features that were already there were like a test result summary, where you can see all domains with all the results. And we've added a download option because it makes it easy to send it around in your company. A full screen thing with your date and time, so you can use it for compliance. You give it to your auditor, and it says, oh, nice green check marks. And the auditor says, oh, that looks legit. This is good enough for us. This actually happens. And having only green check marks is very hard. So you're actually doing something right. There's a test result history for your organization. You can see the ministry having like this red line and then suddenly dropping because something has been cleared up. An issue has been solved. You can see all the different metrics with explanations, a second opinion test, and also an open CRE, common requirement enumeration, so you can relate it to basically any standard you might be able to imagine. It's all connected to each other. So you can say, like, if you fail on this, you fail on like 1 million standards, basically, and a nice website gallery. So we've added an expired certificates view, which is very convenient. You can easily see what certificates are currently broken. This is data from today, like an hour ago, and it has like a bunch of certificates which have been I think, domains that have probably lost, are lost or out of sight, or people stopped using it, and it's still out there. So it still resolves, and maybe it's already squatted by someone else. But this is an example. Also, you can see what tracking cookies are published by the ministry. And currently they have like an inovergang.nl. They use YouTube, but they do not, they have not implemented the consent dialogue properly on the YouTube clip, or they should be using youtubenocookie.com, which is at least a little bit privacy friendlier. Friendlier is the term. So it's not privacy, it's friendlier. In terms of metrics, a lot has happened in the last year. And I'm going to show you a little bit. First off, it was security.txt has been added. And here you see a movie of municipalities in the Netherlands applying security between May and August 31. It became mandatory as a standard for all government organizations to apply security.txt on all of their domains. We're currently only measuring the top level domain, because if we would measure everything, I know for sure that nobody will pass. But you can see that there's a large willingness to improve, and that the standards that are given to them are actually applied. So the reason why we did so was because a bunch of experts asked us to do this. So I don't see the expert in the room, but I know it's there at the conference. So the metric has been created by the Digital Trust Center and is available in internet.nl, and we are using that specifically. A more recent screenshot shows an over 50% adoption of this standard in the municipalities. Government themselves, the large government themselves, are doing a bit worse, but it's still on the rise. Another metric that we've added, and which is not graded yet, but that will be happening very, very soon, is Login Plaza, which contains an overview of all login portals at the government. And I don't mean DigiD, I mean everything else, such as PHP MyAdmin. And we figured that we found like 2,000 plus login portals for your WordPresses, your email, Keybase, whatever, everything. In some cases, this is understandable or fine. In the case of PHP MyAdmin, it is certainly not, because it's a development tool. It should be running through a VPN or whatever you do for development, but it's absolutely not a production-ready tool that you can count on. And it's been known to be insecure, which, there's this interesting thing going on, this interesting dynamic. So if you want to be the uber evil hacker, you just wait for the next 0 day to become available, and then you just a week later or so own all the PHP MyAdmins by the government. That's the strategy. So what we've done, first off, is make a nice sticker with a new logo of a PHP MyAdmin, which is this one, if you want to have them. And why? Well, because the amount of money paid by the government to PHP MyAdmin is exactly €0. So why is it insecure? Little funding, but it's being used a lot. So if you do something reasonable, like telling, let's give each installation €1,000, because it's way cheaper than developing something yourself, and probably this PHP MyAdmin is also audited for like €7,000 or maybe €15,000 by one of the security companies. So yeah, why not give them also a little bit of money, and they would be one of the richer open source developer projects. If every government in the world would do this, €1,000 is not too much. Then this open source project would absolutely be blooming. So it's already great, but it's not living up to its potential, because the government is basically piggybacking up on success of others, and they're not paying for it. And that's something that's hopefully changing this year. Another metric that we've added is domain ownership. Together with the SIDN, with an OK from the SIDN, we're allowed to use the registrant information and publish it. And we found that 8% of the government domains do not have any registration data or relevant registration data. So it's not possible to see if it's actually a government domain. Could be made by anyone, especially if all kinds of certificates are used today. So it makes it very hard to see if something is a phishing site or not. In the healthcare, we found that it's actually 25%, which is much worse. Another metric that we've added is the HTTP and HSTS law. This is a law that applies to the government, which states that every website from the government is mandatory to have HTTPS or encryption. So this was not law yet, which is a bit weird, but it became law somewhere in July, and we found that 33% of the government domains does not comply to the new law. And 65 addresses don't have HTTPS at all, but most of them are obscure domains and yeah, whatever. That's not the busiest. There was only one top-level domain that actually had interesting content. The rest was just weird, crazy sites that we don't know anything about. So in September, we rechecked all of them. 13 were already fixed, so probably even more have been fixed today. Another metric that we've added is, where is the server located? Is the server in the EU or the EU economic zone? And we found that over 1,000 domains of websites are outside of the EU, so in the US. And we found that 400 mail servers are also outside of the EU. So if you mail any of these organizations, your mail sent to the US in many, if not all cases, and then sent back to the EU, which is weird for many reasons, and especially for compliancy reasons. It's basically 3% of domains or websites and 10% of email servers. We've also found that there's been 42 external resources and 62% is coming from the US. So the rest is coming from the Netherlands, Germany, and Ireland because of the cheaper hosters and Microsoft and all kinds of other big companies have subsidiaries there. So is it a problem to submit data to the US and back? Well, for the next few months, the answer is no. It's completely legal. But this has been challenged successfully 2 times, and the chances are very big that it will be illegal again. So if you're still at that point doing hosting in the US for some reason, you probably have mischecked the box at the Amazon cloud to put the stuff in the EU. That's the most common reason. Then you're doing illegal stuff. So another thing we've checked is the usage of Google Analytics. We've written a very, very in-depth article on why this is a societal problem and what needs to change. We found that over 1,500 installations of Google Analytics were present at the government. And 23% of them leaked data to DoubleClick.net, which is the ad framework of Google. So that's not really okay. Because of us publishing this metric, several governments have mailed us, like, we are working on removing Google Analytics. We're going to any of the other mostly open source analytics platforms, which is great news. Also, I'm sorry, I'm going on and on and on. Also, we've also measured tracking cookies without consent, as I've told you earlier. And we've seen that on front pages, there's 4% of the front pages in healthcare and the government that's placing them, and 20% of in politics and cybersecurity. those numbers are lower than the numbers I've shown you recently, because we've added more of these cookies. We found more of them, so we're measuring them also now. I'm going to skip this for sake of time. And just a few days ago, we've released a new metric about encrypted emails, so Star, TLS, and Dane. And we figured that 65% to 94% of mail servers are not encrypted well enough. And any form of encryption is missing on 19 domains. But the good news is that 99.49% of domains that we could measure is doing some form of encryption. So great news, really nice. But if you want to comply to modern security standards and modern things, then the numbers are a bit lower. Mail servers want to comply to the modern things and most of the old things, for reasons that I will not go into. So let's have some fun. Here are the 10 domains that do not use any form of encryption when you mail them, which is a cybersecurity company, digitaleopsporing.nl. It's the government on standard platform. I don't know what that is, but it doesn't have security. A quality control agency for plants, and a research institute, Toetsing Online. So pretty nice initiatives where that's missing. Also a political party, Samen voor Nederland, is missing encryption on email. And there are some healthcare pages which are not the main pages of these organizations. So I see that I'm running a little bit over time. So I'm going to, if you need the food, oh sorry. Oh, I don't know, somebody said it's okay. So. So let's just carry on, and I'm nearly at the end. So we've also added some new maps. We've added maps of political parties. When there was an election cycle last year, we've added all political parties. There were 64 that had a website. There were 70 political parties. In the end, we found that 26 political parties actually competed in the elections. So when we started measuring, the map was basically this, red dots everywhere, as usual. The top three back then in October was Bijeen, VVD, and Piratenpartij. Top three means the worst secured political parties, because there were no that were good. So all of them were bad, and these are especially terrible. And the Piratenpartij as a number three, the Pirate Party, is a very interesting occurrence. So what happened after announcing this, what happened is that November 23, we did after the election, or I think it's election day or something around that, we checked what's the current status. So we did some mailings to these political parties, and a bunch of them mailed back, and we worked together. So the top three has changed a little bit. Pirate Party fell out of the top three, and D66, Democraten 66, came into the top three, and the number ones and two just did not do anything. So I know that they know that they're high on the list, but yeah. But the good news is that seven parties actually improved. So over 100 high risk issues, like encryption issues, have been removed, which is awesome. And a large number of medium risks have also been remediated. So, and that's from the entire spectrum, from Boer Burgerbeweging to the Piraten, the Pirate Party, the Christian Reformed Party, 50 plus. So it's a very wide spectrum, and Volt. So this gives a little bit of hope that for the next election cycle it will be even better. And let's hope someday they apply the policies that they write themselves. Also, we've added cybersecurity companies, and the sector, as you can just have seen, is scoring lower than the government in basically everything. So this is a very interesting finding. I was thinking that if there would be one sector that actually knows what they are doing, because it's the core business, they would lead the pack. Like, that's the slogan on LinkedIn that I see, leading the pack. Ooh, look at us. But they're not, and that's pretty weird. So you see a bunch of red dots. There have been four or five that are actually completely green that have been added, that have been doing a lot of work. And I regularly receive messages from security companies like, oh, we are improving that or improving that, so which is nice. So this was the list that we've published back then. Coming up is a map for education. All of the educational layers in the Netherlands will be added. Here's some sneak previews. If you like maps with red dots, here you go. These are universities and universities of applied science, HBO. These are junior colleges, MBO, and secondary education, voortgezet onderwijs. And these are, this is a sneak preview of primary education, basisscholen. It's basically red, 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 and when there's green, probably you made a measuring mistake. So, sorry. So, in summary, this is what happened. This is what we did with the funding that we got from the government and a shit ton of spare time from the team. It's been a very, very large effort to make this happen. In summary, we try to help improve organizations in a way that is very cheap. It's free of charge. It's public. It's government policy. It's all open data. It's open source. And we aim for the lowest budget and the highest impact. And I think we're doing pretty well. So we are answering questions like, what does my IT landscape look like? Do we comply to standards and laws? Are we secure? Can I show that my organization is in control? For example, you can see how much has changed over time. So if you like this project and you want to be involved or want to continue the discussion, we have a Discord channel where you can join. We can also meet up at the conference. Here's my phone number as well and my email address. So that's it for me. Oh, and if you want the orange cyber things, there are some here and stickers, of course.
We're already 10 minutes over time, so if you have
first didn't shift, you probably already left. Well, the next session is at 9 o'clock, so we have about 3 hours and 20 minutes for questions. Any questions in the room?
3 hours, come on.
Yeah, help us use this device.
Why don't you have example questions?
Oh, everybody's running out. Right. Okay, that was it.
Next time there will be example questions. Thank you very much for your time.
Oh, thank you very much, Stitch.